After taking Oprah Winfrey to task last week for spurious self-promoting charges of racism against some poor shop clerk in Switzerland, I decided to see the movie Oprah was trying to promote, The Butler. It's a movie about race, of course, which is why Oprah felt compelled to invent the Swiss purse incident. She figured being a victim of racism herself would make her role in the movie more believable. Billionaire media darling as victim isn't playing quite as well as Oprah hoped, but the movie is doing fairly well, in spite of being dumb, dishonest, and poorly acted. Hollywood loves this sort of crap, a two-hour racial bloodletting where they get to sling mud at America and wallow in bushels of wonderful, horrible self-guilt. You have to be a masochist to watch the result, especially if you're white, because you know walking into the theater there won't be a single moment of redemptive human behavior from a white person, and probably not one single positive event in the whole movie. Oh wait, there was one positive moment at the very end when Barack Obama was elected president. The only white person in the movie who managed to be on the right side of history was a young kid shown participating in the famous lunch counter sit-in at the Greensboro Woolworth, and even that guy didn't remain unblemished. The movie's director had him shout racial insults for an uncomfortably long time during a practice protest until he made a young black girl cry. That was to make sure moviegoers understand the primary message being communicated, that all white people are bad, even the good ones. Here's a really weird thing, something that tells you a lot about the ignorance of Hollywood scriptwriters. There was no white guy at that Greensboro lunch counter. It was four young black men joined on the second day by two more young black men. You can Google this kind of stuff. It's a never-ending source of wonder that Hollywood writers still don't know about Google. The real-life person who supposedly inspired this movie, Eugene Allen, worked in the White House from 1952, when Harry Truman was president, until 1986, when Ronald Reagan was president. Mr. Allen, by all accounts, led a very happy and successful life, proud of what he did for a living, happily married to his wife for 65 years, well-adjusted, successful son who served honorably in Vietnam, which makes the storyline in the movie utterly bizarre. Although it brags about being inspired by a true story, this movie is completely fictional, and it's poorly written, uneducated, stupid fiction at that. Worst of all, the director and writers insulted and demeaned the life of Eugene Allen by turning his character into an unhappy, frustrated victim and his wife into a whiny alcoholic who sneaks off regularly for sex with a next-door neighbor. The backstory for Eugene turns him into a criminal, which he never was, and the movie invents a non-existent older son who spends his whole life as a bitter protester, first as a Martin Luther King disciple, then as a Malcolm X-loving black nationalist. The fact that one guy was Christian and the other Muslim, so there was very little crossover, is just one of many historical facts that somehow escaped the writer's notice. Google.com, fellas, Google.com. It's on that newfangled internet thingy. The writers apparently don't even know when slavery ended in the United States. In the movie, the 7-year-old future butler starts out picking cotton with his mother and father in Georgia in 1926, about 40 years after slavery ended. The movie doesn't specifically call them slaves, but the white plantation owner takes his mother into a shed to rape her, his father doesn't object, and then the evil white guy pulls out a pistol and shoots the father dead for daring to speak to him. So slavery was clearly the situation being projected. When a movie starts like that, you know immediately there won't be any balanced characters, nor anything resembling historical accuracy. The presidents are all caricatures, uniformly white blockheads, with the Democrats being generally good-hearted and the Republicans being generally evil-minded. For some reason, the writers have the butler starting under Eisenhower rather than Truman, perhaps to avoid the awkward fact that Truman, a Democrat, had a hissy fit about Sammy Davis Jr. visiting the White House with his white wife. Nixon is shown pathetically campaigning for votes among the butler staff in 1960, and so drunk in 1974 he can't sit up straight, while Reagan is accused of eviscerating civil rights and then expressing self-doubt about it to the butler. If you ask the writers which civil rights legislation specifically Reagan eviscerated, you wouldn't get an answer because the accusation is a steamy, smelly, rotten pile of buffalo poop. Historical events in Hollywood movies are so consistently inaccurate, maybe it's time to stop giving these cretins the benefit of the doubt by assuming the mistakes arise from ignorance. Maybe it's time we consider a far nastier truth. These rat finks in Hollywood are just liars. That's today's dose of common sense.